Chapter 14. Catherine huffed as she beat her little bat wings defiantly against the wind. What the hell was with all the attitude? All she'd needed was a simple answer to a simple question. Did Tim and Cooper stop by here? Instead, with valuable minutes of night slipping away, they gave her a lecture on how her brother was becoming more and more of a degenerate drunken idiot. She knew this. He was going through a rough time. He'd probably figured out what was going on between Julian and Skanky and was dealing with his problems the best way he knew how. Tim never had handled rejection well. Even if he was a degenerate drunken idiot, he was her brother, and they could all go fuck themselves. Catherine grinned as she flew, hoping they were all having a good time dealing with their mysteriously sudden rat infestation. According to the information she'd finally been able to drag out of the judgmental pricks, Tim and Cooper had about a 30-minute head start on her. Not a problem. She had a clear path while they would have to walk around buildings through unusually crowded streets full of people shouting at each other. There was no point trying to find them in that mess. It would be much easier to wait at the south gate until they passed through it. She arrived at the gate sooner than she'd expected to, then kept flying above the road for a while, just in case Tim and Cooper had been traveling improbably fast or the lazy bums at the Horsehead had underestimated how much time had passed. After flying down the road for 5 minutes and seeing no sign of the boys, she took on her half-elven form mid-air and dropped to the ground, landing with her right fist in the air and her left leg extended sideways. A bit too high. Her left knee hit the pavement pretty hard, and she knew she probably had a nasty burn under her jeans. The pose was all wrong anyway. Something to keep working on. She walked back to the south gate, where she immediately caught the unwanted attention of the guards on duty. Dull as it must have been, guard duty wasn't a slacker's position. The two men standing at either side of the gate were both tall and muscular. Personal hygiene, however, was held to a lower standard. The guard on the left side of the gate grinned at Catherine with yellow teeth.
"Now what's a fine young miss doing out alone at this time of night?"
"It ain't safe for a lady to travel unaccompanied at night,"
said the guard on the right, abandoning his position to move in closer to her.
"There'll be predators out here, don't you know?"
"And scavengers," Catherine said flatly.
"Will you be needing a place to stay, m'lady?"
said the first guard, crowding in just a little bit closer.
"Mayhap I can put you up for the night. My shift ends at dawn."
That wasn't all that would end at dawn. "I'm trying to find my brother. Maybe you've seen him?" The two guards glanced knowingly at each other, grinning even more broadly as if sharing a secret.
"I don't know," said the guard with the yellow teeth. "What does he look like?"
And then Catherine understood their secret. They were closing in on her with their creepy intimidation thing and thought that she had pulled the brother thing out of her ass to get them to back off. Just like a man. Always thinking, don't you know it's dangerous for a little girl to be out alone at night? And never stopping to think, how is it that this little girl was able to survive out there all alone at night?
"He's a halfling," said Catherine. "He would have been traveling with a half-orc."
The two guards halted their advance. They looked at one another, and Catherine shifted her gaze back and forth between them, trying to read their thoughts on their faces. If she made up her brother, why would she invent such a preposterous tale? Can a halfling even breed with other races? And why halfling? They're not very intimidating. Could it be she's telling the truth? How would you even go about fucking a halfling? This is one of them mind games. She tells me a story that's so ridiculous that I have to doubt her motivations for even telling it. Would you stand her up on a chair? You could lay her down on a table, I suppose, and therefore have to entertain the possibility of it being true. I don't think I could bring myself to do it. They're so tiny. Which lends credence to the half-orc companion, which is then supposed to frighten me. Bloody hell, now I can't stop thinking about it. She's a clever one, I'll give her that. How much would a halfling and an orc cost me? Would they charge by the quarter hour? Catherine cringed, reminding herself that she did not, in fact, have psychic power, and that the thoughts she'd been projecting onto the second guard had been born in her own mind.
"Wah-ha-ha-ha!"
Yellow Teeth finally blurted out. His partner followed his lead, though with less conviction.
"Have you ever heard of such a thing, Mosley?"
said Yellow Teeth.
"A halfling, sibling to a half-elf."
Mosley's laughter grew a touch more genuine.
"Don't forget about her other brother, the half-orc."
"What?" said Catherine. "I didn't say the..."
"Dear old dad really gets around, eh?"
said Yellow Teeth. They both had a good, hearty laugh about that.
"Who Who said it was the dad?
Asked Mosley.
A man might have 10 bastards around the city, all unaware of the other's existence, especially given the racial diversity. A low-rent whore, on the other hand, might be bringing up a half a dozen such mongrels under the same roof.
God's bless her, said Yellowteeth. The girl must have a cunt like a bag of holding.
Catherine gasped. The situation had changed. She could handle the double-team intimidation game they were playing before. She'd dealt with that shit enough back home. Yo, what's up, baby girl? It was more macho posturing to impress their buddies than it was a sincere effort to get anywhere with a girl. That's the way I talk to bitches, yo. That sort of thing. And that's the same vibe she'd gotten from these two creeps until now, given that there was always the chance, however slim, that the target in the bars and clubs back home would have low enough self-esteem to welcome that kind of attention. The scumbag wannabe predators took care to not overtly insult her. But these two motherfuckers had just dropped a C-bomb on her. They weren't even thinking of her as a sexual object anymore. She'd just been demoted to crazy bitch, object of ridicule, village idiot. Catherine was no village idiot, but she could be crazy bitch if that's how they wanted to play it. She considered tearing one of their heads off just to teach the other a lesson about how to treat a lady. It would be so easy. They weren't even paying attention to her as they continued to make crude jokes about her imaginary mother. But she soon thought better of it. That's how Cooper had gotten himself into trouble. A vampire's gifts were not limited to brutality, after all. Catherine cleared her throat. When they bothered to glance her way, she batted her eyelashes like Bugs Bunny in drag. I just love a man in uniform. Catherine added a bit of southern twang to her voice to keep herself in character. But do you know what I love even more?
What's that?
Asked Yellowteeth. Both of their attention was fixed on her like she was about to unravel the mysteries of the universe. A man out of uniform. After a few seconds to process the insinuation, the two men began frantically scrambling to remove their armor as if it was crawling with ants underneath. Piece by piece, plates and chain garments haphazardly littered the ground just outside the gate. When they removed the thick padded shirts that buffered their skin from the metal, they revealed scars of battles past. Catherine almost felt bad for what she was coercing them to do, in a support our troops kind of way. But those scars could have come from a drunken bar brawl just as easily as they could have come from defense of their homeland. But even if they had spilled blood for their country, it didn't excuse the disgraceful behavior they displayed toward her.
Whoa, 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 said Catherine, as both men began to unlace the front of their underpants. That's enough, fellas. Leave a little to a girl's imagination.
She had no desire to see any more of their dicks than the tents they were both pitching.
Apologies, miss, said Yellowteeth.
Both men stood erect, pun very much intended. Yellowteeth had quite a nice body on him and appeared to be very well endowed. Pity about the teeth.
How would you have us further serve you?
Asked Mosley. Both men grunted out laughter like Butthead. Catherine thought back on how she'd lost control of Gin Fizzle back at the chicken hut. She'd refused to let him eat Butterbean. Her vampiric domination ability was not absolute. It competed with the target's baser instincts. Gin Fizzle's thirst for blood was stronger than Catherine's will to control him. These guards, however, were all too eager to tear off their clothes at her command. The base instinct guiding them was lust, and her request only served to stoke the fire. This was useful information to keep in mind. Now, what to do with them? She could test her baser instinct theory by commanding them to perform sexual acts on one another, but that was going too far. They hadn't earned that kind of humiliation. She needed a punishment that fitted the crime.
Dance for me!
Both men's smiles vanished instantaneously.
I beg your pardon, miss.
Dance,
Catherine commanded a little more sternly.
1,000 apologies, miss, said Yellowteeth. We ain't never danced before. We don't know how.
Catherine grinned. This was interesting. They were completely unbothered by stripping naked in public, but petrified of the thought of having to dance. Perhaps it was time to test her theory after all.
You may dance for me, Catherine said to Yellowteeth, or you may suck your friend's dick.
The sexual acts thing didn't feel quite so reprehensible when she provided dancing as an alternative. Yellowteeth swallowed hard, glancing down briefly at Mosley's fading erection. Mosley shook his head nervously.
Very well, said Yellowteeth.
He bent his knees slightly, then stood up straight again. Repeating that, he raised his elbows and shrugged his shoulders as well. Mosley followed his lead, and the pair of them looked like a couple of robots trying to invent the Charleston.
"What the fuck do you call that?"
asked Catherine.
"I'm so sorry."
Yellowteeth lowered his arms, dropped to his knees, and turned to his partner.
"Come on, Mosley, undo your britches."
"Uh-uh," said Catherine. "Get back on your feet, soldier."
When Yellowteeth stood up again, she continued.
"Now both of you, put your hands in the air and move your hips back and forth like this."
Catherine demonstrated, humming to herself, and her two students followed her example.
"That's it."
Catherine smiled as they caught on. She'd seen plenty of worse dancing by far more confident people back home.
"You've got it."
Yellowteeth grinned nervously.
"It ain't so bad, eh?"
"Of course not," said Catherine. "Now just keep doing like you're doing and move in a little closer. Mosley, you get behind me."
They loosened up and grew more confident as they followed her lead, thrusting their pelvises at her just short of dry humping her on both sides. They had the hang of it now. Aside from smelling like spoiled meat marinated in liquid fart, they were ready for the clubs. The timing of approaching boots on the wall above them couldn't have been better. Catherine dropped to the ground and whispered,
"I release you."
"Huh?"
said Yellowteeth, looking down at her, presumably wondering why he was dancing nakedly in front of the south gate. Catherine smiled and winked at him, then started shrieking,
"Help! Help me! Somebody please!"
"What in the name of..."
The booming voice sounded familiar, but Catherine couldn't think of where she might have heard it before.
"You two, step away from that woman at once."
I didn't,
Yellowteeth stammered.
We weren't.
"Where are the Southgate guards?"
demanded the voice from the wall.
"Why is no one manning the... Gods have mercy! Jennings! Mosley! Is that you?"
I'm sorry, Commander Reuters. I don't know what..."
"How dare you disgrace the king's good name with such depraved acts of harassment on the peasantry? A new god has been born this day, and this is how you greet him?"
Yellowteeth, or rather Jennings, and Mosley competed to out-apologize one another, and Catherine remembered their commander's name, Righteous. He was that hard-ass who tried to lock them all up and execute Cooper. Fearing he might recognize her, she refrained from looking up at him.
"Enough of your blubbering," said the commander. "Report to Major Portheous at once. No, as you are. Leave your uniform strewn about the dirt for dogs who are more fit to wear them."
As Jennings and Mosley hurried nigh nakedly through the south gate, Catherine pretended to get her sobbing under control.
"Are you harmed, good lady?"
the commander called down to Catherine. Catherine lowered her voice an octave.
"No, sir. You arrived just in time. Thank you, sir."
"Your gratitude is unnecessary. I'll not have such behavior from the men under my command. You may rest assured that their punishment shall be swift and just."
"Oh," said Catherine, "that's nice."
She felt like he was waiting for a response, but she didn't know what to say. She continued not looking at him, trying to play it like a meek victim rather than someone who wanted to avoid being recognized.
"Be on your way, good lady. May you walk in the light of the new god."
That was the second time he mentioned this new god. What was that all about?
"The new god, sir? Is that what all the bells were about?"
"Indeed," said Commander Righteous. "Have you not heard? A new god, Jesus Christ, was born this day."
"Isn't it a little warm for that?" Catherine was so thrown off by the news that she forgot to keep her voice disguised.
"I beg your pardon?"
"Shit," she continued in her disguised voice.
"Nothing. Just seemed like more of a winter thing."
"Have we met before?"
His tone was bordering on accusatory. "Shit, shit, shit."
"No, I don't think so. I really must be on my way now. Thank you again, and praise Jesus."
"Stay where you are, woman," said the commander. "I'm coming down."
Commander Righteous may have been an asshole, but from what Catherine had witnessed, he only acted according to what he thought was right. She could probably take him in a fight, but she didn't want it to come to that, nor did she want to try to dominate him. He was nothing if not strong-willed and might be able to resist her power anyway. There was only one thing to do. As soon as she heard the commander's boots on the wooden stairs of the right tower flanking the gate, she took her normal bat form and flew up to the roof of the tower.
"Where are you, woman?"
Commander Righteous called out as Catherine lay still, her wings pressed flat against the tiled roof.
"Reveal yourself at once."
About 30 seconds passed.
"Where in the seven hells did she go?"
the commander murmured to himself. When she heard and felt his boots on the tower stairs again, she bolted off into the night. She could wait for Tim and Cooper a few miles down the road.